How many times have our patients returned to our office and are just stuck in the cycle of chronic inflammation? We throw everything we have at them, nothing changes, and even our dentists are frustrated. Rather than throwing our hands up and shrugging, we need to be turning to PerioTrace by PerioProtect. I have seen the evidence firsthand and have helped so many hygienists find this resource because it really works, which is why there are so many products on the market now trying to imitate them. The results are speaking for themselves, but rather than going with an unproven product, stick with the only periodontal medicine delivery system cleared by the FDA. And not only that, but their support team is seriously among the best I've ever encountered, from the education to implementation to support when there's the inevitable bumps on the road. They are there for you. If you want to get in contact with them to learn more about how you can treat your patients better, head over to perioprotect.com/RDH. And on that site, at the bottom is a contact form that you can fill out or simply email them directly to ask for help. This is one thing I truly believe should be in every dental practice. perioprotect.com/RDH to stop the cycle of chronic inflammation.
This is Vicki McManus from the Productive Dentist Academy. Get ready for your unofficial dental hygiene podcast.
These are the tales of two hygienists, one East Coast RDH and one West Coast Guygenist. Listen as they tackle the profession of dental hygiene with humor and enthusiasm. Now, please join Michelle Strange and Andrew Johnston as they tell you a tale of two hygienists.
Welcome back, everyone. Episode 110, A Tale of Two Hygienists. This is Andrew.
This is Michelle.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for joining us. This is going to be a little fast intro here. We have a great episode, and Michelle has a lot of crap to do tonight, so...
Yep, and then I got to get up at the crack of dawn to drive to North Carolina 5 hours. But guess who I get to hang out with tomorrow afternoon?
Oh, I know who you get to hang out with. I'm a little jealous.
Our buddy, Dr. B from the Relentless Dentist podcast. We are actually trying to film, or we are going to film, some educational videos on how to maintain these kind of difficult hybrid appliances. Your all-on four cases, your fixed non-removables, whatever you want to call them. Because that apparently, it's a persnickety one to clean. So we're hopefully going to film some really good educational videos, not only of like the Tepe home care tools, but also of some instrumentation and assessment protocols that you should be doing around your implants. So that'll be fun.
Yeah. Sounds cool. And, and it's always fun to do the collaborative stuff with friends.
Yes.
You know, like that's where it's really at.
And so, I'm excited to see his work because I have no doubt it's probably beautiful. And then he has two hygienists that are actually going to record with me tomorrow. Surprise.
Record what?
Surprise, Andrew. Like, we're doing a podcast tomorrow.
An episode without me?
You.
Okay. That's fine.
I'm bringing anything a bottle of wine and Dr. B's bringing his recording equipment. And I was like, heck yeah.
Oh, good.
This is perfect.
Is it for his podcast? Is he coming back or is he?
I don't know, but maybe I'll encourage him. I'm like, what a good starting off episode that would be.
Last I heard, listeners out there, if you wanted to maybe have a partner in a crime, he was looking for a podcast co-host, and he's kind of taken a little bit of a hiatus because it's just so much to do for one person, you know, and even like for Michelle and I, like you've heard her crap schedule. I mean, what time is it now? It's almost 11 your time.
No, 9:45. 9:45. It's not awful.
Almost 10. Yeah, but that's still crap. So it's nice to have someone to kind of hold you accountable, i.e., me holding her accountable.
Yeah, you should have seen the text messages I just got.
Yeah, they were nice. I didn't swear.
Because you never swear, but I did tell you to shut up. So I have a question, and I want any of our listeners, I actually put this to Patty DeGangi, but I haven't heard back from her yet. But I heard this week, because I was at AO, which is Academy of Osseointegration, I was in LA for two whole nights, flew across the country for two whole nights, super fun. And one of the guy, a dentist that was there, he started talking to me about implants and we had our little debate over probing. And then he brought up coding. And so there is a CDT code 6080, which is implant maintenance. And that could be the removal of the fabrication or the prosthesis, or it could just be maintenance of it, like a cleaning, let's say. But he was saying that you can alternate that with a 4910 or a 1110. And I feel as if that is doing the same thing as alternating a 4910 and an 1110. So a regular prophy and a perio maintenance, which is almost insurance fraud. Or no, it is insurance fraud, especially if you're supposed to be doing maintenance versus a prophy. That's what he was saying, that you could alternate it. And I was like, I don't know. I just feel like it's the same BS nonsense. But if anybody has some insight on that, that's a listener that wants to answer that
do
for
you want me.
Me
read what the, do you want me to read what the Google machine spit out real quick? Just not that it means anything because it's Google, but.
The Google machine has an answer for this?
Kind of, yeah. D6080, implant maintenance procedures including removal of prosthesis, cleansing of prosthesis and abutments, and reinsertion of prosthesis. This procedure includes a prophylaxis to provide active debriding of the implant and examination of all aspects of the implant system, including the occlusion and stability of the superstructure. Mm-hmm. The patient is also instructed in thorough daily cleansing of the implant. Does not say anything about things that are not the implant.
So my thought is, if they have a mixed dentition of implants and natural teeth, You would be doing both of those codes every 3 months if that was their alternating schedule.
I would assume, but again, I am not a, I don't do implant maintenance. This is out of my depth a little bit.
Wouldn't that make sense,
though? I
feel
like there's a lot of people that would know. Yeah.
Because, I mean, I wouldn't clean the natural teeth one time and coat it that way and clean the dental appliance or the implant appliance or implants, right?
Dental
economics.
Is
that what that finger is at me? I don't know what that finger is.
This is a, hey, I have something I want to say.
Oh.
Dental economics did in volume 90, issue 8, said all of that kind of stuff, but then it says the ADA defines this code in part as a, quote, procedure that includes a prophylaxis to provide active debriding of the implant and examining of all aspects of the implant system. This code, oh, that, and then end quote. Then it says this code seems to describe the, quote, cleaning of implants, abutments, prosthesis, but may or may not include a cleaning, quote, of natural dentition.
It may or may not.
For this reason, right. For this reason, it may be appropriate to bill for a 1110 prophylaxis adult or a 4910 periodontal maintenance procedure in conjunction with a 6080. However, most plans will exclude a benefit for the D6080 and will pay only what the contract allows for the 1110 and 4910.
Which is what I said, right?
That's what Dental Economics has to say. Yep. I'm sure you said it somewhere in there. I'll have to re-listen to what you said to make sure that that's actually what you said.
Why does no one listen to me this week? No one is listening to me.
It's hard. It's painful on everyone's ears.
Yeah, I'm looking at you. Mm-hmm. sorry, guys. That cough is still there.
Michelle got me a sick, everyone.
I was about to bring that up.
I died.
I did not have the flu. You cannot blame that on me. You cannot blame that on me.
So, you know, everyone knows how men are wusses when they get sick, right? They're like, oh, I'm sick. I was literally not aware of my surroundings at certain
points. Did you say that you were like going to fall over?
Yeah, I almost fell over in the shower a couple of times, but I'm like, I got to go to work. I have my 7 a.m. patient. So I went and I saw my 7 a.m.s. I didn't think I was, here's the thing. I didn't think I had the flu. I just thought I'm like, oh, I'm just being a wuss because I'm a guy. But then, so that was like Monday, I wasn't feeling real great. And then all the way till Friday, I went home early Friday, went to the doctor. They did the little nose swabby thing.
Awful.
And then they're like, actually, it wasn't too bad. And then they're like, oh, by the way, you have,
The
influenza B. And I was like, oh, well, that'll explain it. I was like, well, can I go to work on Monday? And they're like, well, it's usually about 3 to 6 days. How long have you had it? I'm like, well, 5 days. So I should be pretty good. They said, as long as you don't have a fever for 24 consecutive hours, then you should be good to go.
How many people did you infect, Andrew? How many?
The world. All of the everyone.
So pretty much everything that they tell you not to do,
I didn't know that I was really that sick. That's the thing. Like, we just talked about this too, I feel like, not too many weeks ago. But I didn't feel like I was that sick. I felt like I am run down because maybe it's because of Chicago midwinter, or because, you know, and we had to talk to people. And that was, you know, took a lot out of me. And so, and then, like, I don't know. I was like, maybe I just am not feeling like wanting to be at work. Maybe I'm just being a wuss because I would much rather have a job where I get paid six figures and never have to go to work. That would be great.
I would love that, but that doesn't exist. Combination with just being a doggy mom.
Oh, my gosh.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah, because then you could watch all your housewives and drinking the wine and then doggy momming.
And the wine would go from like 5 o'clock to 4 o'clock to like all of a sudden it's noon and here I am having a bottle of wine every day.
And what are they going to do? You know, take your dogs away because you're a wino? Come on. So.
Well.
Anyway.
So if we learned anything from this story, it was if you are sick in the flu season, maybe you should go get tested before you go and infect everybody.
That. Yeah. Yeah. Because that was a big mistake. And even today, like, what is today? Wednesday? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I'm just now gaining my strength back. And I, you know, I've been working already. This is going to be like a 70-hour work week. And I'm just like, eh, whatever. But you know what else is really great? Because I've been feeling so much better, I placed the most perfect filling ever right before I walked out the door today. So I'm living life like super high right now. Just, it's great.
So glad I get you on the upswing.
Yeah, because if I would have placed a crappy filling, I would have been really pissy to do this with. So. Should we
talk about our episode?
Go to the,
Well, this was a fun one, right?
I really liked it. This is a techie one.
It is a techie.
It's really kind of, it's not nerdy techie, but kind of nerdy techie.
But I unfortunately had to peace out halfway through and I was really bummed because I wanted to hear the temp app.
The Uber of temping as a hygienist. Yeah. Oh, it's really
so
good.
So I'm excited.
Dr. Brian Laskin, Opera DDS. I'm sure you guys have heard him or at least seen his stuff around. He's got a really good staff. He is cutting edge technology, everything. So his team really helped to embrace kind of what his vision was of inter-office communication. And intra-office communication, in fact, too. So all sorts of really cool things coming out from what they're doing.
Perfect.
I didn't really have anywhere else to go with that.
Okay.
So, yeah, just listen to this because it's good and you'll like
it. It's
got
some cool stuff about virtual reality, which is – we played with it.
Oh, my gosh. That was so good.
Yeah, it's a super cool experience. There's a picture of us with these giant goggles on our faces. He calls it the nitrous of our virtual reality nitrous or something like that.
It was so good. So
literally
good.
You don't know anything that's happening and everything is really super peaceful. And I love the post-op instruction thing. That was really cool.
That is good.
You guys are going to really enjoy this episode with Dr. Brian Laskin from Opera DDS.
Hey, Michelle.
Yeah.
It's time for the interview.
Oh, but I had something else to say.
We need to let the experts talk now.
Fine.
All right.
Yeah, let's make sure that happens.
You leading us in?
All right. Chicago midwinter. Midwinter?
Let's start.
Chicago midwinter. You probably hear it in the background.
Yeah.
Another year, another Chicago midwinter. But we are recording with Dr. Brian Laskin. Laskin?
That is correct.
Is that correct?
Yep, Brian Laskin.
I like to butcher last names for no reason in particular, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we met Dr. Laskin at a Chicago midwinter. Was it last year or the year before? I can't remember.
It's a couple years ago.
I think it was 2 years ago when Alan was doing some of your stuff, right?
Yeah, well, he came to our booth. And it was awesome because Alan Mead was a year ahead of me in dental school. And so when he came and Jason, they just like meet the hacks like in our booth. And it was so fun to like see people come and be like, meet their celebrity, you know, who I know from dental school. It was awesome. They're great, great. It was great meeting you guys there. And so that's why, because they hung out in the Opera DDS booth a couple years ago. Yeah.
I do think that was like the first like meet and greet of podcasting for dental side of it, right?
I think at that level it was, I mean, I'm sure that they met before.
You helped facilitate that. Yeah. So what booth were they at? Tell us about this booth and who you are and what you're doing.
Well, thanks. Yeah, Opera DDS is a total communication package for offices. We do full recall. We do staff messaging. That's kind of what my big passion is, intra-office communication. I feel it's the key to case acceptance and providing quality care. We also do secure forms, all digital forms. We do secure texting from your website, case collaboration. We do teledentistry things. What we do is take all of the communication for dental practice and aggregate it in a very easy to use system that's available on Apple Watch, Android, mobile devices, iPad, web. You just log in and go. That product's been in the marketplace for about 3 years. We've got over 5,000 offices using it, so it's been it's been a lot of fun. Yeah, so that was the product that we were showcasing 2 years ago when we met.
But what facilitated that? Like, how did you all of a sudden one day be like, you know what, I'm gonna solve this problem?
Great question, and one of my favorite stories. Basically, I bought another practice in a building, and I had this thing where I'm obsessive about systems in my practice. Yeah. And I want to know everything that was discussed before I walk in the room. And so I can say, Andrew, I'm so sorry you broke the tooth on the upper right. Abby's got a room ready if you want. We can get you taken care of today. Right. So I walk in with the solution to the patient's problem before I've even been there. And that wasn't available. And I was complaining to... Actually, I came to this show, the midwinter, with four of my staff to buy all the stuff for the new office. And I bought five different communication systems, and they all sucked. So I went home, and I was complaining to a good friend of mine who has a marketing company. And he said, so why hasn't somebody made it so you can slap an iPad on the wall, get all the information in a list before you walk in? I said, let's do it. And that's what kicked it off. And now it's like, we're doing just, I think, some of the most progressive things in communication and dentistry, and it's been a lot of fun.
So maybe walk me through, a typical maybe couple of different type of appointments where you're going to find that you'll need a referral or you'll need further treatment, and what does that look like digitally? Because I feel like, especially for our listeners, we have a younger audience that maybe is new out of school or whatever. They might not quite understand, the hardware incorporated with this.
Yeah, what I found is hygienists love computers, right? Assistants love iPads or tablets, and dentists love phones. So that's the way it works, and wearables. I mean, almost ubiquitously, right? Like in my office, the hygiene rooms have the monitor like right in front, so you can see it. Very cool. And then the other operatories are up a little higher. And our rooms are basically set up the same way, except hygienists love being in front of a computer for some reason.
Yeah.
That's what I found. Maybe you guys agree. I don't know. But
do you think it's for entry reasons?
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe it's because the pace is different, and the amount of people in the room is different. That kind of thing. But basically, from the intra-office communication perspective, what we do in our office is the hygienist fills out a checklist of everything that was discussed. We have pre-filled, canned messages you can do. But I like to have it in our office. We have the patient's name, chief complaint, changes in medical history, perio status, restorative status, and then any general notes. So I get a buzz on my watch, and I know exactly what was discussed. So if, let's say, Sally has a broken tooth and may want to stay to have that crown done today, I'm going to stop what I'm doing and go do that exam right away, right?
Yeah.
I just love that.
Thank you.
Because you don't have to wait, right?
Yes, we love that a lot.
Yeah.
Don't make us wait anymore.
I think I might be the only person that doesn't like that.
You don't like that?
She's terrible. She's not a good hygienist. Continue on with your story.
But, okay, so that means that in that moment, the hygienist needs to be entering in real time things that they're finding.
Well, you would talk about the chief complaint at the very beginning, right? What brings you in today, Sally?
Well, yeah, but and then what say, if, oh, like, you tooth. Discover, like, people don't
know. I know, but then you look at it, and you're like, okay, great.
Number eight could be missing, and that's not their chief complaint. Like, no, I always find that, midway through it.
How you use the system, totally up to you, right? But what's important is having instant, secure communication, right? That is key. The one third of all medical mistakes are due to miscommunication, right? So having to deliver quality care today, I believe you have to have secure instant communication that's easy to do for everybody. Otherwise, it doesn't get used. And in our office, it also is totally fun. I mean, when somebody, you know, says people are like telling jokes and emojis and stuff going through, it just makes the entire office
some
more
levity
engaged.
To the day, for sure.
And you know, we have different like bonus systems where you can say, you know, double bonus if we do this today, and you can feel the energy rise in the practice. Once you start having this phenomenal communication, you use it in whatever way works well for your office. And then things like, if you come in and I'm going to refer you to an oral surgeon, I can do that digitally, print it out from my phone, from the tablet, from the web, whatever, print off a patient copy that has no PHI on there, right? So, you know, if you fill out a slip and the patient loses it, you actually are liable if that, like, versus, so the way we do it, the other thing is that a big problem in dentistry that I think is not dealt with is somebody comes in, they haven't been to the dentist for 10 years, right? They've got a broken tooth and they're in pain. You look at them and you go, I don't feel confident taking this out. I'm going to send you across the street to the oral surgeon. What do you give them? You give them a prescription to go to see the oral surgeon,
right?
Pain meds and antibiotics. This person hasn't been in 10 years, right? You think they're going to go right across the street and have it extracted. They go to the pharmacy, they start feeling better, and nobody knows that they didn't go through with the care.
Yeah.
Right.
With Opera, you do it digitally. Instantly, the office knows, and you can communicate back and forth, and they can say, hey, where's Joe? And you can say, let's tell him, because we sent him your way, you know, and so it closes the loop immediately. And so not only do you have this instant communication with your staff, you have it with other offices, with your lab. It really elevates the game in a big way. It's all about communication.
And is that how you incorporate the teledentistry side of it?
Yeah, that's different too, because you know, like our secure forms, we can do many different things. One of the sort of unique things that Opera DDS allows is you can allow people to submit things securely to you without logging into Opera DDS. Mm-hmm. So you could do things like have an emergency form on your website where people can like upload photos of their broken teeth, things like that.
Yeah.
On the referral side, specialists love it because general dentists don't need to be an Opera DDS user. They can just go on, fill out the digital prescription, upload whatever images, and do it that way. And so there's some unique functionality that we have because there's a very strong HIPAA compliant secure core of Opera DDS that allows us to do some things that just aren't available anywhere else.
How do you find that the specialists, I know that they love it, but was it maybe hard accepting a different way of having the paper instead of having the paper referral with the stapled x-ray to it? Do you have some trouble for them accepting it or not?
We did when it was, you have to sign up, but I have to sign up. But when I say just go to my website and submit it, everybody loves it, right?
Yeah,
instantly,
the
specialist gets a ding. They know that they got the referral right away. They can follow up with it. And from the office side, it's much easier. There's no shredding, copying, mailing, list of BS after BS, right? I mean, it's just so much easier for everybody. You can literally do it from your phone, print off a patient copy, and it's just, I mean, it's better in every way.
Yeah. Has your staff been pretty accepting to it as well? All the changes?
Yeah.
Your team.
Yeah. I mean, our team, we have kind of a different practice because there's seven dentists in the practice.
Wow.
And now we have six different technologies that we've brought to the industry. And we built out a level just actually Monday was our first day in the technology suite. Where we, everybody in my office knows that one of our agendas at the practice is to bring the best technology in the industry, and so my office is filled with people that are the outliers, the people that like change, you know, that are looking to do things a little differently. So, but also my office, you know, my average crown takes 40 minutes, so that's start to finish, permanent crown cemented. So we're very heavily focused on efficiency. So technology goes to my office to break, you know. So if it works in ours,
to help it be more efficient.
What's that?
Goes hand in hand to kind of help everything be more efficient.
Yep.
I was going to ask you also, we can maybe talk about this in a little bit if you want to go somewhere else, but I want to talk more about, you've done some pretty amazing things so far the last, you know, 3 years. You've had the opera side of things going. At Voice of Dentistry, you and I kind of talked about another emerging thing that you're working on. Are you allowed to talk about it very much on the podcast?
Are you talking about virtual reality?
Virtuality, and also we can edit this part out if it's not ready yet, but the Uber of...
Oh, yeah, whatever. No, you're right. Both of those. So both of those are live.
I do want to do virtual reality first, though.
Virtual reality, okay. So, you know, it's funny because people think that, like, we're not focused because we have so many technologies, but I think the opposite is true. You know, that's kind of what we're focused on, and I just work with the best people. And what we've done with virtual reality, that's been out for about 4 months now, maybe a little more, it's anxiety and pain-reducing videos. It's been proven to be more effective than nitrous oxide. So while you're working on the patient, they're watching calming nature scenes, things like that. There's guided meditation. The patient has no control. You can control the headset from the web or from another device, which makes it super efficient for practices. And it blows my mind every time I use it how effective it is. It's you know, really? I saw the research on it and was like, wow, we have to try this out. And then it's like, it should not work nearly as well as it does. But it is, like, I call it digital nitrous. Because it works
just better than
way.
Nitrous.
It does. It's crazy. Nitrous. Yeah.
I like to get it, but I don't want it on my patients.
The hoses and
all over the place.
It's a pain in the ass, yeah.
So someone who's never seen virtual reality glasses before, tell us more about, like, the setup of it.
Yeah, so it's basically a set of goggles that you wear that are north of where we work, so they don't get in the way, but they have a little bit of bulk to them, so as you're coming out of the mouth, if you wear 4.5 loops like me, you might bonk them. So you have to pathway in and out of the mouth is the only sort of thing you have to be aware of, otherwise you smack the headset, which isn't a big deal. But it's a very immersive environment. In Opera VR, we have primarily 3D stereoscopic. What that means is that it's a 3D immersive video where it feels like you're there. But we don't do 360-degree content because we want to make it so that the patient's best experience is just looking straight ahead. So they're not rewarded by moving their head around. It moves with them. And that's been proven to be amazing. So, I mean, patients just literally sit there and space out while you do your work, which for me, it's like the sky parts, the rainbow comes down, and it's beautiful, right? And you have full control. We also do post-operative instructional videos. So as you're ending the appointment, we have a hygienist that shows about brushing and flossing. So F for hygiene, we're doing like all your work for you, right?
I love it.
Wow.
So you just sit back. They sit there. And plus, it's an awkward situation that I don't think, because there hasn't been a good solution to it. When you're lying back and you're looming over somebody's face, that's a weird social interaction.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely.
And if you slap a headset on, nobody, you don't care, they don't care. It fixes that, right? Which, you know, the anxiety is huge and the entertainment value is huge. But also, it just makes it much more comfortable for everybody. It's great.
So you said you control the content, though?
Yes.
So it's not going to be like you're in a video game running after people, chasing things. It's more, you're saying, like meditation type?
Yeah. There's been, you know, we're doing a ton of content now, but we're not going to be doing roller coasters, right? You don't want to have people have this, like, and they don't want
to increase the adrenaline.
Yeah, this is sedation, right? It's we're going to have entertainment. Well, we do have some entertainment, but the entertainment is going to be things like a juggler, you know, or balancing acts, things like that, where you're not going to be going through a, you know, you're not going to be flying through super fast through the trees. It's going to be a gliding over the beach kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Because there's been some research out of the UK that shows that calming nature scenes are the most relaxing. Some people don't really care about relaxing. They want to just be entertained, and we have that too. But nobody's going to want to be going, from our provider side, we don't want people like reacting to what's on the screen.
Right.
And so all of the content is going to be relaxed like that.
Is there an audio component to that?
Yeah.
Or just, so it's a headset and goggles.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we give you when you buy the system, we give you 100 disposable headsets. You can use Bluetooth headsets, or just keep using disposable ones that you give the patient that cost about a buck a piece.
The airlines.
Exactly. those. You're right. And you can select the audio separate from the video.
Mm-hmm.
So So if you want to do guided meditation and the beach, you can. That kind of thing.
That's really cool. So before we move out of that, I'm curious because I have always had this understand, or kind of confused why we don't have more opportunities in the waiting area to educate patients.
Reception area, yes. Yeah.
Do you call
Nobody
it reception?
Waits in my office to receive.
Reception area, yep, waiting
sorry.
Area. No, you know what's so funny is that I was corrected for calling it the reception area the other day. So it's okay.
Well,
everyone
who was wrong?
Changes their terminology. Is I mean, it's
yeah.
Like,
sorry.
No.
Like,
but
it's like
so funny
an immediate
that
reaction
like,
to me.
Everyone's right. Trigger word, yeah. Right? Like, it's different. Front desk versus your front office staff, or team versus staff. Like, God, like, it's all over the place. But anyway,
we call it the bridge. No, I'm just kidding.
The bridge.
Yeah.
Avalon, come wait in yeah, this exactly. Oasis. Using the reception area as a learning opportunity or a teaching moment, and why we don't have more technology out there going through. Because, I mean, if I go to my dermatologist, I'm learning about every skincare line, every little thing, but you don't see that often in dentistry.
There are some that do. I think that's... There's different ways to run your business, right?
Yeah.
And in my office, we do not do dental education in the reception area for a purpose. I think that my personal feeling is that patients don't want to be sold the entire time they're in your practice, right? And I think it can detract from. And also, it can build anxiety. You know, the research shows that, like, the best part of a trip is not going on the trip or the memory. It's the anticipation. I think the reverse is true. The worst part of, like, a dental visit is the anticipation. So if you have a video of what a crown is and somebody's waiting to have a crown done, you could be spiking that person's anxiety while they're sitting in the chair. Even if it's, you know, if you're talking about dentistry the whole time, right, that's why... One of the reasons why I created Opera VR and Opera DDS to kind of like is to get over anxiety. If the minute you diagnose the crown, you do the crown, you shorten the time frame, the patient doesn't have that buildup where they're sitting at home. As dental professionals, I don't think we think about that. Oh, you need a crown? Just come back in a couple of days,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah.
That person can be going home stewing for 2 days, freaking out, right?
Well, we feel it's the priority and the most important thing and not that big of a deal. And I always had a dentist that joked that, like, the difference between minor surgery and major surgery is minors on you, majors on me. Like, and
totally.
He was like, oh, it's just a minor surgery. We're just doing a dental implant. But to them, it's like, oh, but you're screwing something into my jaw. Like, that's a big deal. Like, and we're just like, oh, no, it's just another, like, literally, we could do this in an hour now. Like, it's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very true because, you know.
Yeah, that's
we
one of
see
the.
See it as minor.
Yeah, well, our guarantee at our office is the same day. And that's part of it for that. Because I know that people, in certain patients, that can build anxiety. And we are all about delivering dentistry from the patient's perspective. And so if we can reduce anxiety by getting in today, by slapping a headset on your face, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that changes the patient's experience
yeah.
in a dramatic way. It makes my job easier. I can provide higher level care. They're going to be referring everybody to us, and everything just takes off.
Are you finding anybody having issues with, like, claustrophobia or issues? Because I have a handful of patients that I can't even put the Profijet mask on. Because it freaks them out.
Well, like, we've had people who self-select not to try it.
Yeah.
I want to knock on something. I personally have had nobody try it and not like it.
Right.
But there's people that go, I don't think I'd like that, right? I mean, they know right away.
Yeah.
Because it probably isn't for everybody, just like nitrous oxide isn't for
right.
everybody,
right.
right? But for the people that it works for, and frankly, I think for a wider range, because it's more effective, and also it's not just about anxiety. I think it's going to be the new normal.
That'd be great. I want to talk about infection control before we move on to the next topic.
Sure.
Tell me more about how that looks.
You mind if I run just really fast yep. while y'all are talking about? No, go ahead. Finish
Mike,
that. I'm
Mike,
good.
Jump in. Tag in, Mike. Sorry. Infection control. That's what I want to know about. So,
killing bugs.
Yeah. So there's spatter. There's cleaning up with the VR goggles. What does that look like? Easy, hard, multiple steps?
Easy. There's two big options. Wipe them just like anything else. Not anything else, but just like a chair. You can wipe things off, or you can have disposable barriers. It's the same thing. We ship it with like wipeable face pads, or you can, there's disposable face pads that you can use. So it's really not different than other things. Now the phones are all waterproof, and so everything can be wiped down very easily. Or you can use removable tape, like the surgical tape and barriers. Mm-hmm. So really, it's not different than like a chair. Those are the two options.
So I guess maybe let me go back for 1 second. So does each patient gets their own individual set pair of goggles, or
no?
They're recycled through the patient to patient.
Good distinction. We currently, because there's so much going on in the VR world right now, from a hardware standpoint. Currently, we use Samsung Gear VR and Samsung Galaxy devices, and that will probably change in the next 6 months. And one of the cool things about Opera VR is when you are a member, we give you new content all the time. We're also going to ship you the new hardware for free when it comes out.
Oh,
so you don't
nice.
Have to worry from the hardware side.
Oh, wow.
Because that's, you know, that's a big barrier for people if we come out with, you know, because this is going to change all the time, and we don't
right.
want the burden to be on the practices.
Right.
That's on us. Because we're gonna just use whatever's best for at the time, and then you'll be using the best whatever's at the time. But there's not the in-office experience is not like patient specific. It's disinfect, you wipe it, or you use a barrier. Mm-hmm. We also have an at-home experience, so that as you transform the patient's experience in the office, you can give them these cardboard headsets that are branded for your practice, so they can bring the experience home and show it off to their friends and family. And that's, you know, more of a it's not disposable, but you know, it's just a piece of cardboard basically with some lenses that you put your phone in.
Yeah, very nice.
So if I can ask then, the infection control side, is there any issues as far as with the technology for communication, like keyboard covers and iPad? Like, how does that work? Because
it's no different than using an iPad or a watch or a computer for anything else. Most people have those devices in their office,
yeah.
Whatever they're doing, keep
just
doing
keep
it.
Just keep doing
yes.
it.
Yes, I mean, we're not like...
Some are doing nothing.
Well, that's
so
that's why I say whatever you're doing, right? Because I am not an infection control specialist.
Right.
But I think we have good protocols at our office. But, you know, that's a whole other can of worms if you... You
yeah.
know, it, follow whatever you're doing.
Because I think that is the tricky part about the added technology.
It's so funny, like, too, because like, I think it's like... It's the hygienists, right? Are like, they're so infected. Dentists, I think we're just like, stuff's flying around. You know,
oh.
we don't, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I would 100%
yeah.
confirm
yeah.
that.
I agree with that.
Like, those hygienists ask the infection control
my first
questions.
Office, I would walk behind my dentist with a Cavi wipe. And I was like, I saw you were there. All right, continue on, and you're here.
Yep.
I see where you're going. I'm wiping everything down. Because he was just like, from mouth to everything else.
Yeah. Yeah, so, it's awesome. And it's like, you know, it's great, but whatever you're doing obviously with VR, it's similar to like how if you like to wipe things down or if you like to use disposables, you can do either. Just like the headsets, we just give it to the patient or
yeah.
use Bluetooth headsets and wipe them down. But for Opera DDS, it's whatever, because you already have the devices. If you buy them, you know if you're gonna wipe mm-hmm. them down or use a piece
yeah.
of plastic or whatever.
Do you see that the more often that you clean them and things, that the technology tends to break down, you got to replace it more often? Or people aren't taking care of it well, or not using the right wipes or whatever to clean it? Do you see any of that kind of going on?
No, the technology won't break down. The wipeable face pads, you know, they're not going to stay looking just like a chair. It's vinyl. So
right.
they're not going to look 100% like the day you bought them after 10,000 uses. But the technology won't be affected.
Okay.
Yeah.
I want to move in, because we're kind of wrapping up on time. We have about 5 minutes left. I want to talk about your revolutionary change to what a temp agency looks like.
Yeah, that's called Quickly. So Quickly. A little funny spelling, but it's a cool, because it does work quickly. Basically, what we're doing is replacing temp agencies with something, an application that's similar to Uber. So offices can go online, post a job, And then if you are a hygienist, actually we employ the hygienist, which is different than some temp agencies do, like independent contractors,
contract work,
and that's
right.
kind of can be legally questionable.
Sure.
So you actually have to sign up as a hygienist to be to be employed by Quickly, similar to like Uber at joinquickly.com. And then whenever you're available, if you want to work Tuesdays from 2 to 4, whenever you want, you can get a ping on the application. We send you basically a fancy text message, and you can accept it if you want to or not. So it's great for hygienists that have flexibility. What we really love about it is that a lot of the temp hygienists that we've had in our office, you know, they're the ones that haven't been able to find a job for whatever reason. Whereas with Quickly, we get hygienists who want to pick up shifts now and then. Maybe they want to pay for their kids' school, or they want to pay for their vacations or whatever. It's very flexible, and it works instantly. So offices will know within 10 minutes whether they found a hygienist. And also, we've cut out the middleman. So as a hygienist, you make quite a bit more than you typically would from a traditional temp agency.
So they're, you know, for our listeners who have never worked for a temp agency or maybe new grads or whatever, some of the problems that exist that I've kind of run into is you sign up with a temp agency, either they have work or they don't. You don't really know until the last minute, and you've been waiting, hoping to get work, or you don't get work. And then it's like, okay, well, I need you to go 45 miles away. And then, well, you do that, but if you tell us no, that you're not going to pick up that shift that's 45 miles away, we're going to put you lower on the priority list. They do all sorts of things at temp agencies, not all of them, but a lot of them, that make people not want to use a temp agency. I think the other thing, too, is if I have an afternoon open, there's not really a flexibility in the normal setup that's going to let me work just an afternoon somewhere. And I'm not guaranteeing, obviously, that anyone has just an afternoon shift open. But sometimes people go home sick at lunch because they try to push through it and they can't. Something like this would solve a lot of those problems.
Yeah. Yeah, and we have, rather than doing, you can set the parameters on how far you want to work. Also, it's similar to Uber, too, where you rate the hygienist and the hygienist rates you. And you have a say as a hygienist as to like what, you know, what your experience was like at the practice, which is key. You know, also there's a couple other layers where you can, let's say you always have Tuesdays open, right? You could be like a preferred hygienist for Tuesdays, right? And we have parameters around that where we just make sure that, you know, if you want to, if you have the availability to always be on call, right? We'll pay you just to be on call, and then if we don't have a job for you, cool. But that makes it so that it's easier to, because the issue is that from the what we really strongly feel is that in most marketplaces the barrier is going to be to have the good hygienists who can go in and fulfill the need, because
right.
this is such a huge need for dental practices that we want to, you know, we really want to create an army of the best hygienists who may want to pick up a shift now and then, and then it will fill a huge void like you're talking about.
So is this starting local to you for right now, or is it even out yet?
It is out. We launched about a month and a half ago. We were just in a big technology conference, which was cool. We have over 30 hygienists working now for Quickly.
Very nice.
Yeah, which is fun. And so we're going to be going nationwide and adding assistants very soon.
That's so good.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
And if you, I mean, that's the kind of thing where if somebody who's listening wants to champion Quickly in your area, that would be awesome. Because we're
like a franchise type thing, or how does that look?
Yeah, I mean, we're really looking for those hygienists that want to take days that they are going to be available, right? So if you want to, you know, if you want to work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, when something pops up, you're going to be available. That's the kind of hygienist that we're looking to kind of start, because then we can go in the marketplace and say, well, if you're in Nashville and we have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, covered, right, then let's start talking to the dental practices. Because once we have the hygienists to fill those spots, getting the practices to start using quickly is going to be very, very easy. It's so much easier for both sides, right? We just need the hygienists to raise their hand and go, yeah, I'm willing to step up and start working.
So they can go on the website now and say, hey, over here,
yep,
let's start putting it over here.
Yep.
So it's not like a franchise opportunity. It's not like you can set up shop and you guys are still going to be managing it from your
I'm part of the company, but I'm a small part of the company. There's two amazing guys, Pedro and Yomiu, who one of their moms is a hygienist, and that's how he came up with the idea. They're just awesome tech guys that basically knocked this out of the park. And so my guess is that there would be an opportunity if you were seriously interested, but that would be a conversation that some things I can say yes or no to, but that's outside of my power, I think, so to speak, because that's not something we've discussed. But I think there's certainly an opportunity. For the right person, I can't imagine the opportunity. The answer would be no.
Back up just a little bit, if you don't mind. My question would be more of, okay, from the clinical practice side. So what happens, like, you know, I'm sure you're employing great hygienists and everything, but what if that person just walks in and you just know, like, your personality doesn't click? How do you, in the temp agency that I've been experienced with, you just say, no thanks, they don't come back anymore. What's the, you know, what if you, on that oddball, one person that you just don't, the personalities don't get along, how does it help, how would it benefit the practice, or what would the practice do to kind of say, no thanks for that one person anymore?
Well, I mean, the same way. I mean, the difference is that it's way easier with Quigley, because with a temp agency, you have to tell the temp agency, I never want Beth to come back, right? With Quigley, you select who you know, you can select.
I see.
So,
okay.
So you can say, I mean, it's way easier.
So it's not necessarily the hygienist selecting you, or do you have to select mutually?
It's mutually.
That's the way it has to work?
Yep,
okay.
Exactly.
That makes a lot more
that's
sense.
That's the way Uber works too, right? You don't see it on the back end, but that's the way it works.
Okay.
Yep.
So, last two things. One, contact information. A lot of information going out right now. A lot of different mini companies.
There's one major company, Opera DDS. So, operadds.com is the is kind of the home base. Then we have digitalnitrous.com, which is the land. Which is a page for virtual reality for Opera VR. Thanks. Yeah, because it's nice and descriptive, right?
Yeah.
Digital Nitrous, and then Quigley. It's Join Quigley, JoinKwikly.com. So Opera DDS, Digital Nitrous, and JoinQuigley.com.
The last thing I wanted to ask you is a message for hygienists, whether they've been in the field for a while, new graduates. As a dentist with your experience, what's a message that you would really like them to learn and get better at?
Oh my gosh, that's such a fantastic question. I think, and this is showing my bias, right? To have an open mind and let me put it this way. I've worked with hygienists where they're open to trying new things with an open mind, or versus being skeptical of everything that's changed, because I think and we are in an era where there's so much going on that evaluating everything with an open mind, but also not buying what you're sold. There's a lot of stuff I think in dentistry where people with big pockets can shove things down people's throats. So just, you know, you hygienists are incredibly intelligent people, very caring people, and I think if they use their brain and keep an open mind versus buying what they're sold. Well, what, you know, if a person comes in and starts selling you on something, that might not be the best way to select opportunities. You know, actively seeking out things that can make your patients' experiences better is I think a I kind of went on a diatribe, but that's probably I think that's the best answer I can give you off the top of my head.
It's all great. No, it's all relevant and perfect, and we, Mike and I, we both agree with that wholeheartedly. Well, I've been going out for a little bit now. Thank you for your time. Appreciate you being on.
Yes, thank you
very much for having me on. I appreciate
it. Next time you have something coming out, come back on.
Well, thanks. Yeah, no, I think you guys are, you know, as I told you at Voices of Dentistry, you guys do such an awesome job, and it's great to have the hygiene perspective, right? I think on our podcast, The Operatory, we try to give the patient's perspective, which is a totally different thing, but the hygiene perspective is... It's certainly underrepresented in the industry, so thanks for joining.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks.
It's about that time. Grab your blanket and a glass of wine. It's story time with Michelle.
Story time with Michelle is brought to you by J. Lore Cabernet 2015. It's one of my favorites, just so you know, Andrew.
Are you actually getting paid to say that, or is this...
I am not. It is one of my favorites. I like the 2013, 2014. I think 2015 is my favorite. J. Lohr, L-O-H-R. I love it. So anyway, in light of our episode today on technology and virtual reality, I found an article that is from 2017. It is through the Saudi Dental Journal. It is titled "The Need for Virtual Reality Simulators in Dental Education: A Review." Mm-hmm. So it's not patient education, but it's dental education. And I think this is going to. I really thought this was interesting for two reasons: one, that it was our episode, and two, because I was just on our accreditation came through for our school, and I am the chair of our dental advisory board, and one of the dentists that is on that board. Teaches in our medical university where the dental school is here. And he made a really good point that he is finding the newer graduating classes to be just doing amazing work because a lot of it is so digital and they are so good with video games. Like, this is the generation that grew up on, well, I wouldn't even say Nintendo because I grew up on Nintendo. So it's the whatever else.
The next
generation
is past that.
The Wii, whatever video games was the next generation. Like, that's these people who are graduating. So they're doing exceptional work because of the digital side of things. And they have that proclivity towards being, I guess, inclined in that area. So the introduction. Dental education has evolved through the years, and various technologies are being incorporated into the curriculum to improve fine motor skills and hand-eye coordination in preclinical settings to allow for smooth transition to the clinical setting. The use of simulation training has become an integral part of dental education, has been practiced in dental schools throughout the world. Ziv et al., 2003, in their research on simulation, reported that appropriate use of simulation in a professional education program allows students to refine their clinical skills without the danger of harming the patient during the learning process. Some of the challenges faced by dental schools are as follows. One, insufficient numbers of current and future research scholarly dental faculty. Two, insufficient integration of dental research into the larger world of science. Amen to that. And three, insufficient application of new science to clinical practice settings. And four, insufficient acceptance, ownership of research findings by the dental community. Yeah, I find that in dental schools and hygiene programs and all the things, and just everyday practice. With increasing demands and clinical training by the lack of experienced faculty, are you typing to Angie right now?
No. I was turning you down a little bit because since I'm off to the side, I didn't want this to be like hearing you. Look at me.
Literally just sparked my jealousy. I was like, do not talk. Why?
I was paying attention.
I want to talk to Angie.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And
totally
anyway.
Paying attention.
With increasing demands in clinical training, but the lack of experienced faculty, the cost factor, and changing trends of teaching and assessment, there is a need for universities to turn to technology-based teaching and learning software to enhance students' learning. Currently, dental schools use simulators that have realistic mannequins along with dental models incorporated in a dental simulated operatory. These simulated models allow the instructors to explain and improve on students' hand-eye coordination and dexterity, but verbal description to tactile sensation is difficult to explain. New technologies are being developed to include haptic sense of touch and virtual lab environments into the simulation exercises, as these technologies are reported to increase motor skills and student efficiency, as well as reducing the faculty time required. Pedagogical use of virtual reality simulations has been used in various professions such as aviation, nuclear power, military, and healthcare to maximize training and minimize risk. Recently in Japan, a robot patient capable of performing real-life simulations such as coughing, shaking neck, tongue thrusting, and salivary secretion was reported to have shown to enhance dental skills and allow for better development of skills in the management of medical emergencies in a dental setting. Despite these technological breakthroughs, there's only limited integration of the haptic and virtual reality technologies in undergraduate dental training. A study by Baker et al. 2013 assessed the realism of the Simedont haptic 3D VR dental trainer amongst academic staff in the School of Dentistry and Oral Health. Griffith University in Australia, who appreciated the education benefits that can be offered by the Simedont, however, they raised concerns about some technical points that needed adjustment. They also agreed that automated feedback provided by Simedont dental trainer could not totally replace traditional preclinic training methods, but could be used as a valuable supplementary tool for students' self-evaluation. For meaningful education experience, reflection and discourse are elements that are inseparable. In dental education, during simulation and laboratory procedures, the student requires constant feedback on their work to move into the next procedure. This face-to-face discussion with the instructor usually occurs after the procedure due to time constraints and student to tutor ratio. God, and that is so true. Buchanan and her report stated that when students trained with virtual reality simulators, they learned faster, practiced more procedures per hour, accomplished the same levels of competence as traditional preclinical laboratories, and requested more evaluations through the computer, thus reducing instructor-student evaluation time. Therefore, blended learning designs in the form of virtual reality units that provide instant feedback and student-requested feedback along with instructor feedback need to be incorporated into dental education to make full use of the laboratory training time and improve fine motor skills before the student can confidently move into the clinical setting. We hypothesize that virtual simulation cannot solely replace neither the traditional teaching methods nor a human lecturer or tutor. Therefore, there is a need to review available virtual reality dental simulators and further investigate their added value to the current preclinical dental education framework. The aim of the current review was to provide a brief comparison and an overview of the available virtual reality simulators in the market. In addition to the above, the current review aims to shed the light on the value of virtual simulation in the current preclinical dental education framework. What do you think?
Great.
So this is a really big article, so I'm not going to that's not terribly big, but it kind of goes through all the different ones that are out there. And the quick conclusion is that current literature indicates that virtual reality dental simulators are valuable educational tools that could augment the current traditional teaching methods. Development of a validated single scoring system to test the improvement in the skills achieved across the various available simulators could help assess benefits of each simulator within the preclinical dental education framework. Rapid advances in hardware and software technology should further allow for a better virtual reality experience and adaptation of this technology as an essential part of modern education. The end.
Beautiful.
What do you think?
It's going to be funny because even I was thinking, it's not virtual reality, but even my children, when they, Zach, he learns coding already. You know, in like fourth grade, he was doing
what?
Coding. Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. And this was before he went to that special program. So like and it's for games, right? So like, you know, all of this type of stuff is not surprising to me that they want to integrate this into education. And, you know, credits the testing agency. We do now, for the local anesthesia exam, we do the GoPros. I don't know if we've ever talked about that on the podcast
yet. No, we haven't.
So in, rather than, and a lot of people across the country don't even have to do the local anesthesia exam. So this is kind of foreign to a lot of people. But before, you'd have to have two instructors looking over your shoulder. At every step of the way, they say, yes, you, I see what you're doing. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. And so like it's really clunky and kind of weird. And then there's no anonymity. It's really weird. So now we have these GoPros and you just do your injection and then you get graded on it.
Whoa. And it's like,
how great is that? Because the instructor can zoom in, pause, rewind, do all of these different things, and we can't see the candidate. We just see what they're seeing. Mm-hmm. And so it's, I don't know, it's really cool. So yeah, technology is awesome.
Is it live?
No, it's not a live feed. No.
Okay.
It's uploaded, and it's probably about a 10-minute delay.
So how do they like make sure that the GoPro is actually seeing in the mouth and it's not like seeing up their nose or, you know, something weird?
So we have like proctors and stuff on site.
Oh, okay.
There's all these like safeguards kind of put into place ahead of time. Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's fun. You know, it's technology. It's different. And, you know, it's not, as you know, as a student, you know, hopefully you're using a light and loops and stuff like that anyway, so you're not going to feel like the added weight or anything like that.
Says the man that doesn't use loops.
But I think I'm going to start. Okay, listeners, this is what we want. We want someone from a loops company to sponsor. We'll be like, we'll say that they are the official loops company of A Tale of Two Hygienists if they give us free loops and light for the rest of our lives.
And I will give you my opinion. I prefer the oval loop over the round loop.
That's just me. I don't know the difference.
Well, I'd love, maybe listeners can give us their feedback. I definitely like the oval loop versus like the rounder one because I just feel like I can see. I don't know. Maybe it might be
a wider field.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just very different. And I also, that was my first pair. And so now when I have gone to do like the, and I like through the lens, I don't like the flip up. I don't like, it's clunky. It moves up and down. I thought I would like that because maybe I could sit up straighter or maybe I could like look over and adjust them, but I never ended up doing it. And actually ended up annoying me that I have to like adjust it because I would just sit up in the same place. I don't know. Anyway. So
anyway,
everybody can give us their feedback.
Yeah. Man, great episode. That was fantastic.
Yep.
I love life.
And wow, you really are on a high from that restoration.
I am. It was a good one. It really was that good. And I hate freaking premolars. And it was like to the gum. Like I had to use the band to get like subgingival. And I had to build up a little bit on the disc because like the distal lingual was all broken out. And then I had to like build it up just a little bit first and then put the wedge in. Oh my gosh. It was fantastic.
I knew you were texting with Andy Stone. You're the worst. You're the worst ever. Anyway, listeners.
Podcasting or Angie Stone?
Thanks for another week. Next week you will not hear Andrew on the podcast.
You're welcome, everybody.
If you are listening and love this episode, please share it with your friends. Spread the word on podcasting. You can email us at atale2hygienists@gmail.com or send us a message on Facebook Messenger at our Facebook page, A Tale of Two Hygienists. Eventually, we'll probably get a website. Eventually. And don't forget to rate and review us on any of your podcasting apps, preferably iTunes if you can.
Which we've gotten a lot of ratings, so thank you so much for everyone that's done it recently.
Yes.
We don't have very many reviews, but the ratings keep going up, so like, thank you.
Appreciate that, and it makes people find us a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. And thanks for always interacting on Facebook page and sharing the episodes. I think that's it. Is that all?
That's it. Thank you, everyone. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a great week. Bye, y'all.
Bye. You have a story time, or are we skipping story time?
I got No, I got a story time.
Of course you do.
Ready?
Yeah, I'm so ready for your story time. Although Angie just messaged me, so I might want to just talk to her instead.
Listen, I need you to pay attention for like 5 minutes.
But
what is she messaging you about? I never hear from her. Maybe I'm jealous. Why does she love you more?
Oh, nothing. Go ahead. Story time with Michelle. Let's do this.
I hate your face.
Earlier today, I said, hey, show me on Facebook Messenger what the go-to meeting thing is going to be.
Yeah.
Did I not say that? You're like, on Messenger? And I'm like, yes.
Do you see this?
Why is this a text?
Because you text me, and so I text you back, shut up, with the thing.
But and I then already I said it. In Facebook, I said, yo. Oh, wait, hold on. I said, dude, let's do this thing, and then nothing. And then I went to text and was like, freaking dude, let's do this thing.
Yeah, and the last thing I got was a text.
Take forever.
And so that's what I responded to first.
All right, whatever.
I mean, can we just make note? Look, do you see this? What is one supposed to do with the baby hair that looks like that? It's literally...
Cut it?
90 degrees. My head.
Grab some scissors.
What episode is this?
110.
Ooh, I feel like that's a big number.